Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. What day is it?
It's Monday.
Monday.
Monday, the January 15th.
Birthday week.
Yeah, it is birthday week.
15, 17, 19, 21.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, today is your son's birthday.
It is. Happy birthday.
So,
he's getting old.
And we have him to thank for some of our new artwork and our new music and all of that good stuff.
Skill Builders.
That's right.
In Texas, right.
That's right.
I have to call him today, don't I?
You should. It would probably be a good idea.
All right.
I'll email him or something.
That's right. Email say your dad's going to be calling. Get ready.
Your dad said he's going to call you.
That's right.
Who knows?
That may or may not happen. It's going to happen, Jonathan. I will. Man of my word.
All right. Well, Richard, this week we're going to talk about an area of psychology that may, at least initially, seem like it's a pretty specified, reserved area, the area of sport, exercise, and performance psychology.
But what I thought you were going to say is an area of psychology that we never talked about before. Have we?
Not too much.
Not
too much. We've kind of alluded to it a little bit here and there, but we haven't talked about it specifically.
Right. It's an area of psychology that's not talked about very much, except in certain circles.
Right.
One that I think is gaining in popularity.
It is.
And usefulness.
It is. And we're talking about it this week in preparation for an interview that we're going to do later this week with a sports psychologist from the UK who's working a lot on the science of pushing yourself sort of beyond your typical limits. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a wonderful topic. We offer some sports psych services here in our practice. And it's an area, as you said, that it continues to grow. Mm-hmm. But it also contains principles in it that apply to even non-athletes and non-performers.
Right. And the two things I think that, by way of introduction, is when we do the interview, I encourage people to listen. He has some really interesting ideas.
Yeah.
Novel, new. Mm-hmm. I almost said experimental. They're not really experimental.
Right.
They've been documented that they work. But some new approaches. But also a broader approach so that if you are involved in any way in athletics,
right,
when you have children in sports, there's a wealth of information that's going to be presented this week.
Yeah.
That even whether you're exercising on your own or competing, or you have children who are entering athletic competition. There's the sneeze that I was looking for.
There it was.
I've had to pause because I felt that one coming from left field, speaking of sports psychology. But anyway, if you have children in particular,
right,
lots of good information.
Yeah, and we refer to it, there's another one. We typically refer to it as sport and performance psychology. It is cold.
It's cold in Florida today.
It was 38 when I got up this morning.
I know, yeah.
And I know it's colder everywhere else, but still, it's 38 is
relative.
Very cold here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was, not yesterday, but the day before, it was in the 80s. So just a matter of comparison.
Right.
You know, that's what's difficult.
But this is going to be a good week.
I
was a little bit hesitant, you know, when we first talked about presenting. I thought, what are we going to do for a whole week?
Mm-hmm.
But when you dig into this literature, there's a lot of really good information. And as you said a minute ago, it's information that goes beyond sport.
Right.
Right. So it's not just, so don't think just because we're doing sports psychology that there's nothing in it for you. Most of what we talk about has implications beyond sports.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So today we're just going to kind of talk a little bit about what sports psychology is. And again, some refer to it as sports psychology. The way that I think about it and conceptualize it in the way that I practice it here, it is more sport and performance psychology because, again, many of the applications that we use in sports psychology are also important if you're a dancer or you're a musician or for that matter, if you're a business professional and you have to conduct meetings and, you know, organize teams and groups of people and things like that. So these as you said, again, these principles extend beyond off the athletic field.
Right. And I like the extension from sports psychology to sports and performance psychology.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a much broader net.
Right. So basically, and perhaps as you would anticipate, the field of sports psychology focuses on performance, athletic performance typically, if you're restricting it to the sports psychology component of it. Mm-hmm. But it places an emphasis on performance in the athletic domain with the goal of helping people overcome barriers or overcome limitations that may be interfering with their performance, to help them deal with issues associated with training and with, you know, dealing with what is often referred to and many people refer to as performance anxiety.
Right.
And you know, all of the sort of issues associated with being in high demand circumstances that where you're being assessed based upon your performance.
That's right. It's not just we're not talking about professional necessarily. Mm-hmm. Professional athletics, we could be talking about elementary school children.
Absolutely.
Who are learning how to play a musical instrument, but they're going to be judged for a regional, state, and regional, let's see, there'd be county, regional, and state competitions.
Right. So
at the elementary school level.
Right.
And so performance of all types.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. The way that we often use sports psychology here in our office is through an association that we have with our local soccer club, it's Lakeland Football Club, and we changed it now because we are associated with a professional team now.
Yeah.
So it's the Lakeland Tropics Football Club,
right.
And so what we do is we work with youth travel competitive travel teams.
Right.
And we work with those kids because they are competing as young as 8 or 9 years old. They're competing, as you said, at a state level at least, sometimes even beyond that, in soccer competitions and tournaments and stuff. Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I like about sports psychology, besides the performance aspect, is it also includes the social aspects of being on a team, of participating in a competition, the social aspects of that, as well as the obligations that you have as a member of a team.
Right.
So it's beyond just your own performance.
Right.
These are social settings as well.
Right.
Even if it's an individual sport like tennis or golf, you're still part of a team.
Right. Yeah. I've worked with tennis players, but also with golfers who are working through the amateur ranks, working to try to get to the professional level, and they certainly have they have individual needs and issues that must be worked through, but they also share a lot of the same concerns that our soccer players or baseball players or football players.
Yeah, in tennis, you may feel that you're the best player on the team, that you should be playing the number one position, but maybe for the whole team, it's better for you to play the number two position.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to give up some personal ambitions to satisfy the needs of the team, to meet the needs of the team.
Right.
So that's also a part of sports psychology.
Yeah, and when we're thinking about those of you who are on team sports or have a kid who's on team sports, even though they're on a team and you're dealing with team dynamics, you still have lots of individual issues because one of the examples I often use is, you know, like the penalty kick in soccer.
Yeah.
The amount of pressure on both the goalie and the penalty taker is tremendous.
Right.
You know, and one of the examples I used with kids was actually from a very, very well-known professional soccer player, Lionel Messi, who you know.
Even I've heard of him.
See?
He
has missed critical penalty kicks.
I see.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, you think if I could have anybody on my team, he would certainly be on the short list of people that you would want on your team. And even he has missed penalty kicks, and presumably I mean, he can put the ball in the net if he needs to. And so there has to be this factor of stress and the pressure associated with you're the only one that's about to hit the ball.
Right.
And there's nothing in between you and this 24-foot wide, 8-foot tall net, but a guy that's standing there that's, you know.
I'm smiling because I'm thinking of the double fault in tennis.
Yeah.
You know, and we get so angry with our children when they double fault. Professional tennis players double fault.
Double fault,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why there's a double fault in tennis, right? Because everybody does it.
Yeah.
So take it easy on the kids. But there's a third aspect of sports psychology, and that's the systems aspect. And that is currently at play in the professional, I say football, I mean American football ranks. Because a sports organization is like a family.
Right.
It's like a family system. And or like any other organization,
right.
Okay, in the other industry. And so you have to keep all the pieces moving and running and moving smoothly. Well, one of the football dynasties is the New England Patriots.
Right.
And there's some kind of controversy. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what it is. The New England Patriots played yesterday. We're in the playoff part of the season. So they played yesterday. And one of the dynamics, one of the storylines, was that Robert Kraft, who's the owner, and Bill Belichick, who's the coach, and Tom Brady, who's their superstar quarterback, there's something going on there among the three of them. And the storyline was, will that be a distraction? And as it turned out, it wasn't. They won the game anyway. But there are concerns about something in the family, some system breakdown that's occurring that could affect the performance of all three.
Right.
And so that's the third aspect of sports psychology, is this is an organization and the members need to get along.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of aspects that sports psychologists and sports psychology in general influence. And it could be on the individual player level, it could be on an individual match or game level, or it could be on a systems level. And we do see a significant increase in the use and presence of sports psychologists, you know, as recently as just 4 years ago with the World Cup. Soccer World Cup was held in Brazil. And famously, there was a sports psychologist working with the Brazil national team because of the pressure that the team was feeling with the World Cup being...
Because it was in Brazil.
In Brazil.
Right.
And all the pressure they were feeling. And, you know... Well, it didn't, unfortunately, work out very well for Brazil because they did buckle significantly under the pressure. And that really, it was a huge loss. I mean, they were manhandled by Germany in that tournament, and it knocked them out. And, you know, the players were visibly distressed, like weeping uncontrollably at the end of the match. Because they were just not up for it. But you know, it was really interesting that the coach saw that this was a need, or either the coach or the organization saw that we really need to bring a psychologist in to work with these guys because they're going to have a rough time dealing with this. So again, a lot of baseball teams are starting to use sports psychologists. Football teams, and again in individual sports, tennis and golf and the like. Are heavily using sports psychologists nowadays. So
that's right.
It is an area that's growing, and as we've mentioned, it is using principles that are going to be relevant for everyone.
That's right. You're using sort of garden variety psychological principles, but you're applying them to sports.
Right.
But they apply to all parts of our life, not just sports.
Yeah, because I think that what's important for people to appreciate and understand is that when it comes to these principles, when it comes to a lot of the things that we talk about on this podcast, needing to build some of these skills or needing to understand some of these principles does not suggest that there's anything wrong with you.
Right, that's right.
You know, most people who benefit from a sports psychologist don't meet criteria for any form of psychopathology or anything like that. And that's one of the barriers, I think, to people using sports psychologists, and something that we really emphasize in our relationship with the Lakeland Tropics Football Club, is that we help them understand the players and the parents understand right. that just because you're coming to see the sports psychologist doesn't mean that we're saying that you have a disorder or that you're flawed or anything like that. We're just helping you maximize your potential.
I think of all our tweeners and teenagers who, mm-hmm. who come in and say, well, if I have to come in here, does that mean I'm crazy?
Yeah.
And no, it doesn't mean that at all. One of the articles that we're going to talk about today is about training.
Right.
And in that article, he makes that very point mm-hmm. that this is about training.
Right.
It doesn't matter what issue, even if you're a parent,
right.
your training never ends.
Right.
You're going to be better. You're going to be better each year,
right.
because the training never stops.
Absolutely,
so we're going to talk about that. Doesn't matter whether it's a sport or mm-hmm. or cleaning a house.
Right.
The training never ends.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah. All right. Well, that I think that's it for today.
Good introduction.
We mm-hmm. We'll be getting into some really right. important topics starting tomorrow. We're going to talk about
which will
anxiety.
Be Tuesday.
Yes, anxiety and performance. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. So, until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.